This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Margaret, the battle over healthcare has shifted to the states. We've got midterm elections less than a week away. Many Republicans have made the election a referendum on healthcare reform. But past the election, one of the most important issues facing states and the success of healthcare reform are those state insurance exchanges.
And I think our listeners have heard us reference these a lot, but that's because they are important. The exchanges are the marketplace where insurers will offer their products side by side, and consumers will be able to compare and shop for the best plan at the best rate. And maybe less well understood, but very important, is that the exchange play a crucial role as the gateway to Medicaid and vice versa. If people are found eligible for Medicaid when they go to apply for insurance, they'll be helped to enroll. And by the same token, if they apply for Medicaid and aren't eligible, they may be eligible for a subsidy in the exchange. So we really have to keep an eye on their development.
You're right, Margaret. They are the foundation of healthcare reform, and they will act as a regulatory and enforcement body as well, evaluating health plans and determining who is eligible for subsidies and who will be exempt from the penalties imposed on people who go without insurance.
That's the big picture. And although the federal government says that it will be able to administer health exchanges in states that decline to run their own, the fact is all but two states applied for that initial round of planning grants to develop the health exchange at the state level. I think it was $49 million went to 48 states and the District of Columbia. So it looks like states are going to take this responsibility on. And that's a good thing, as we always say, that states are really the laboratories for innovation.
And they are. And California is the leader implementing health reform by taking the initial step to set up the exchanges. They became the first state on September 30th to establish the California Health Benefit Exchange. We will see if others follow their lead.
Well, that's a good segue, Mark, to introduce our guest today, Dr. Mark Smith, who joins us from the California Healthcare Foundation. He's been involved in advocating for national health reform for many years, long before the current Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was passed. And under his leadership, the California Healthcare Foundation has been working to improve healthcare access and safety and quality and transparency for all Californians. We're very happy Dr. Smith can join us today to talk about how the foundation is influencing change.
And I'm sure the foundation will have a big part to play making sure reform holds up to its many promises. But no matter what the story, you can hear all of our shows on our website, chcradio.com. You can subscribe to iTunes to get our show regularly downloaded, or if you would like to hang on to our every word and read a transcript of one of our shows, come visit us at chcradio.com. You can become a fan of Conversations on Healthcare on Facebook and also follow us on Twitter.
And as always, if you have feedback, email us at chcradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now, before we speak with Dr. Smith, let's check in with our producer, Lauren Bonner, for the headline news.
I'm Lauren Bonner with this week's headline news. State insurance regulators from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners unanimously recommended new federal rules governing how much of the premium dollar insurers must spend on patients' health care, also known as the medical loss ratio. Starting in January 2011, the federal regulation will require health insurers to spend at least 80% of premiums on health care for individuals and those enrolled in small group health insurance, and 85% for those enrolled in large group coverage. Insurance commissioners have spent months debating what should be counted as health care expenditures. The goal is to make sure the consumer's premium dollars are spent on medical care and quality improvement, not things like marketing and profits for insurance companies. Although some insurance executives are worried the rules could disrupt coverage, Department of Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius applauded the vote, says the recommendations are reasonable and achievable for insurers. HHS will use the recommendation to issue the final provision in the coming weeks. According to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the number of Americans with diabetes is expected to double, even triple, over the next 40 years. Anne Albright is the director of the Division of Diabetes Translation at the CDC.
Recent past had indicated that 1 in 10 adults would be developing diabetes, and now the projections are looking much closer to 1 in 3 to 1 in 5.
The factors, Albright says, are both positive and negative.
The average age is increasing. We are living longer, and diabetes does increase with aging.
Albright says people are living longer with diabetes because of better control of the disease, as well as early diagnosis. The growing population of certain racial and ethnic groups who are at risk is also a factor in the projected increase.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. Today we're speaking with Dr. Mark Smith, president of the California Healthcare Foundation. The foundation has been one of the most reliable and innovative sources for promoting and expanding access to affordable and quality healthcare for California's underserved. Dr. Smith, you've been leading the foundation since it was created in 1997, and you've steered it successfully in a very focused direction, improving the delivery and financing of high-quality healthcare for the state of California. The country has seen enormous advances in healthcare over the past 13 years, but the spiraling cost and now the strained state budgets have created new challenges. What are the key priorities for the foundation in this current environment?
Well, right now we really have two key challenges. The first is to accelerate the implementation of the healthcare reform bill, which was passed after many years of struggle. And so now it's up largely to the states to get done the tasks that the federal healthcare reform bill envisions. And we've been trying to help both state government and other stakeholders, people in the industry, understand what the rules will be, what the challenges are, and how to get about creating exchanges and high-risk pools and the various instruments of healthcare reform. The second challenge, as you say, is really to struggle with the challenge of cost. I think most people would agree that the healthcare reform bill did a pretty good job of expanding access, but not such a good job of controlling costs. And so I think for most of us, if we don't get cost under control, we will lose the benefit of expanded insurance, because as Massachusetts has shown us, if you don't tackle that problem, the whole edifice has the chance of falling down.
So, Dr. Smith, let me just follow up on that then. From your viewpoint, the strategies around controlling costs, and you're right, in crafting the legislation, it was some ideas were tossed out there, but not a lot of guidance. Where do you see this going around the cost control?
Well, first of all, I think there are some big levers about the cost of healthcare at a macro level that, frankly, are way outside our control as a state-based foundation. So issues such as Medicare payments, such as the tax deductibility of health insurance premiums, the so-called Cadillac tax, and a whole bunch of other levers that are really in the hands of the federal government will, in the end, I think, have to be brought into play. But while those things are being struggled with, I think there are a number of things in the reform bill and in the HITECH Act, actually, that actually holds some promise. The first is that the HITECH Act of the stimulus package, or American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, provides the funding for the infrastructure for electronic medical records and essentially the digitization of healthcare. This is really important because, for one thing, we can't get a handle on what we're doing if every time we want to figure out what we're doing, we're sending armies of individuals out to review medical records on paper with pencils. So in many ways, one of the most fundamental healthcare reform advances of the last couple of years is not actually in the reform bill, but it's in the stimulus package, and it's the electronification of healthcare in America. Secondly, there are a number of provisions in the Reform Act that look to the future of a different way of paying people. Essentially, the way we pay people in healthcare is we pay them to do more, and we now know that more is not necessarily better. And so if you hear talk about the primary care medical home or the accountable care organizations, these are all buzzwords right now. But I think in the next few years, we will be looking at really reorganizing the way we deliver care in America, hopefully to provide higher quality care at lower cost.
You know, I want to go to the micro level, Dr. Smith, and about the ways that people are able to access eligibility. And we've heard often during the health reform debates that a significant percentage of the uninsured in the U.S. were actually eligible for public insurance like Medicaid, but weren't enrolled. And there's a host of reasons to explain it, including sort of confusing enrollment processes. But the California Healthcare Foundation is known for its longstanding effort to modernize enrollment in public programs for California. So let me ask you to explain how California compares to the rest of the country in terms of uninsured and also about your Health E-App system that you're developing and planning to roll out pretty soon for the California public.
Well, California is among the highest number of uninsured in the country, and a lot of that has to do with the nature of the labor force, as it does elsewhere. We have, as you say, been working for many years to try to modernize and streamline and make more efficient and more welcoming the process by which people enroll in public programs for which they're eligible. So let me make this point because it's important. When you look at how people will benefit under the Health Reform Act, how it is people will now have health insurance coverage, about half of the people who will benefit will do so because they'll now be enrolled in Medicaid. The other half, about, will benefit because they'll now be eligible for subsidies and they'll buy their insurance through the exchanges, but first they have to be ruled ineligible for Medicaid to receive a subsidy. So essentially everybody, or almost everybody who's going to benefit from this new law, will have to go through the Medicaid eligibility process. The Medicaid eligibility process is in many places, including in most of California, still linked to the welfare department because of the historical links between Medicaid and welfare. And so to the extent that people have to go to the social services office and be served there in order to sit down with an individual and bring a bunch of papers and sign up to be either getting on Medicaid or ruled ineligible for Medicaid to get a subsidy, we think that's a no-brainer in terms of a bad way for health care reform to be implemented. So we have for many years been supporting a process by which this process can be automated, that you can have computer systems that talk to each other and do these eligibility determinations, and soon this will be available to the public directly in California for kids in our SCHIP program, our Healthy Families program. And we think over the next several years, given the increasing computer literacy in America, including by low-income people, that many, we think actually the majority of people, ought to be able to do this online, either from their homes or from other places where they have access, as opposed to crowding social services departments. There will clearly be some people who still need that assistance, but there's no way that 40 million Americans will be enrolled in health care reform by lining up at the social services department. So we're actually encouraged that the health care reform bill contemplates making this much easier and much more likely to be online in the way that millions of Americans conduct all sorts of other business today.
Well, that's very exciting. So you both might have a medical record, but you might also have an eligibility record that might be used in a lot of different formats. It's quite exciting.
Absolutely. And in fact, as it turns out, if you look at the information that the government collects for you to be ruled eligible for Medicaid, it's also often the same information that you need to qualify for food stamps and for all sorts of other government programs. And the way this often works now is you've got to trudge from one office to another, sometimes three or even four different offices, one for each program, giving them the same information over and over again. And that obviously makes no sense, both for the individual who's eligible for help or for the government that has to pay for the people to staff these four offices. So we think this is going to get a lot better in the next few years.
Very important initiative, and certainly more efficient and effective, and also a lot more respectful of everybody's time. You know, we really can't separate digitalization or electronification of healthcare from quality and access issues, because they are so important. So let me just follow down that path for just a minute more. California is so enormously diverse, rural and urban. You have community health centers, migrant health centers, nurse-led health centers, as well as private practice hospitals. One of the areas that we've really followed with great interest is your work in telemedicine and virtual care as a way to really level the playing ground at a high level of access to the best care for everybody in California. Can you speak a little bit to how you're looking to really connect not just the electronic health record, but to how to really connect, have a connected healthcare system in California through health information exchanges changes and these other innovations?
Well, we've been active in supporting the rollout of a high-speed, secure digital network that can serve providers in rural areas and urban areas all over the state. And it's important to remember that in all sorts of other aspects of our lives, we rarely now have to go someplace to transfer information. I mean, we live our lives by sending data back and forth over the internet, and yet an awful lot of our visits to the doctor are made to get information or to give information that can actually be transferred much more efficiently, securely, and much more economically and conveniently for everybody if you could do so by the internet. In addition, though, in recent years, with the development of broadband and with the development of lots of technologies that can move other kinds of data, it's clear that, for instance, in our rural areas where we often lack specialists, instead of trying to figure out how you can move 20 or 30 people from a small town into a big city to see a dermatologist, you just need to move the video or the picture of a skin lesion so the dermatologist can look at it and often can supply an answer, a diagnosis, and even a treatment without having to drive 100 miles or to move somebody there. So we think there are great opportunities to improve the care of people, particularly people who are in rural areas, but often, frankly, in urban areas, and make care much more convenient for them.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. Today we're speaking with Dr. Mark Smith, president of the California Healthcare Foundation. He's talking to us about how to make healthcare efficient, effective, and elegant. Dr. Smith, one of the mantras that you've been focused in is how to provide better care for the same amount of money. And one of the areas that you're particularly focused in on at the foundation is better management of chronic diseases. What models or standards have you been promoting to improve outcomes and the quality of life for those with chronic conditions in California?
We spend an awful lot of money on a relatively small number of people, many of whom have chronic diseases that can be managed to reduce the impact and burden on their health lives and the impact and burden on their and our financial lives as well. And that requires a change in attitude and philosophy, both by patients, frankly, and by the system that's taking care of them. So an example, we've spent a lot of time in the last several years helping doctors and clinics and other providers install what we call registries in their practice. So when I was trained as a doctor, it was not part of my training to think about, say, all of the diabetics in my practice. I would see Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Gonzalez, and I would see them one by one and take care of whatever they had, their hypertension, their diabetes, whatever. But there wasn't really the capacity for me to sit down and say, okay, in my practice of 2,000 patients, I may have 160 diabetics. How am I doing with those diabetics? What's their blood sugar? What's their blood pressure? How frequently have their feet and their eyes been checked to avoid the downstream consequences of uncontrolled diabetes? So the first step is having the capacity to do that. This gets us back to electronic medical records. The second step is to have workflows and processes that allow you to manage patients prospectively. So we, like many others in the country, have been trying to help providers understand what tools they need to manage populations of patients with chronic disease and to help constantly look at our practice, improve our practice, that both helps manage patients' diseases and also substantially reduces the cost.
Dr. Smith, you referenced your own training, and certainly that's another area we could spend another whole show on, talking about the training of our healthcare professionals. But I'd like to focus on the California Healthcare Foundation's major investment in leadership development for the next generation of healthcare professionals, both the clinicians and the leaders and administrative folks who are going to lead and shape our 21st century healthcare system. Tell us about those programs and why the foundation is making such a strategic investment in the area of leadership development, as I understand, across all sectors of the healthcare system in California.
These things don't happen automatically, and sometimes they don't happen easily. They need people who understand where they're trying to go and who have skill and tools to actually manage organizational change. healthcare is kind of a curious industry, if you will, in that at least on the clinical side, we substantially underinvest in and underappreciate the role of management. So there are an awful lot of doctors and other clinicians, nurses, dentists, pharmacists, who are in charge of big budgets and lots of people, and in fact in charge of the lives and health of their patients, who receive little or no formal training in how to manage anything, how to run an organization, how to review a budget. So we set out 10 years ago to say, we're going to try to provide the people who've taken on this task, that is helping to run our clinical enterprises, some assistance in upgrading and strengthening their management skills and their leadership skills. And we're now on our 9th or 10th cohort of people who part-time over the course of 2 years get some background in accounting and finance and negotiation and a view of their own personal management style, lots of the kinds of things that people in any other industry in senior positions of management would long ago have gotten as part of their management development. We've helped to try to provide that.
Dr. Smith, speaking of the future, we'd like to ask all of our guests that when they look around the country and the world, what do you see in terms of innovations, and who should our listeners at Conversations be keeping an eye on? I know out here in the East Coast, we keep an eye on the California Healthcare Foundation, but tell us, who are you keeping an eye on?
Well, for one thing, we're keeping an eye on Washington because, you know, there's a big, complicated healthcare reform bill that will take many years to unfold. We're hopeful that the administration and other policymakers in Washington will give providers the freedom and flexibility to experiment and learn and innovate in new forms of care, new sites of care, new ways of delivering care. If you think about some of the developments of the last several years with retail clinics, for instance, these medical clinics that are in big box stores and superstores, you think about the advent of telephone medicine, and with telemedicine, some of these things are technologies that are waiting to take off but are kind of hamstrung because of our existing reimbursement system. People don't get paid for that work. Or sometimes there are actually regulations that won't allow them to do it. So in many ways, this is going to sound counterintuitive. I think there's a huge pent-up demand in the provider system and among patients to use technology in new ways to get care more quickly to them, more conveniently, and certainly more affordably. And a lot of what we're looking for is innovation in our regulatory and reimbursement system that can allow those sorts of innovations to flourish in healthcare as they have in banking and transportation and information and virtually every other aspect of our lives.
Well, that's an exciting future to look forward to. Today, we've been speaking with Dr. Mark Smith, president of the California Healthcare Foundation. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us on Conversations today.
Thanks for having me.
Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives. This week's bright idea puts the spotlight on a program that has a strong track record fighting childhood obesity and has just been awarded funding from the Aetna Foundation to further its aims. Students Run LA trains at-risk high schoolers to run the Los Angeles Marathon while providing them with the adult mentoring and nutrition education they need to stay healthy for life. To some, training a 14-year-old to run a full 26-mile marathon might seem dangerous and even impossible. But back in 1986, LA high school teacher Harry Shabazian realized that coaching his students to complete a marathon might also give them the skills and motivation they needed to graduate high school. Mr. Shabazian ran the 1987 LA Marathon with several of his students, and after more teachers and students joined him in 1988, the LA Board of Education took notice. By the mid-90s, Students Run LA had been established as an official physical education and dropout prevention program in the LA Unified School District. Today, Students Run LA still uses the same teacher-led model in which teachers run alongside their students
after school, helping them prepare for the race while teaching them about eating a healthy diet and exercising regularly. The Students Run LA program also goes beyond physically preparing students for the marathon. With the help of one-on-one mentoring, students also learn important skills like goal setting and time management, which enables them to make lasting, healthy lifestyle choices and to succeed in graduating high school and going to college. Since 1989, Students Run LA has served over 40,000 students with consistent success. This year, thousands of teachers and students will run the LA Marathon. Of those students, it's predicted that more than 95% will finish the marathon, and over 90% of the seniors who run the marathon will graduate and go on to college. The students who participate in the program emerge with skills and motivation to lead a healthy, productive life. Now that's a bright idea.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of Wesleyan University at WESU, streaming live at WESUFM.org, and brought to you by the Community Health Center.